Well, we are again. I do do have a card here. We've been sending out Christmas cards to several people, especially for mothers. Ivy is Ann Wallace's mom? Is that right? Ivy is Shirley Dulish's mom. Okay. All right. So she wrote, I'm trying to keep these mothers together. It's hard for me. It says, to Mountaintop Alliance Church friends, it says, I really appreciate all my special cards and their messages sure helped me. That's what she said. So he said, we send out these cards and sign them just four times just to encourage people, and we just praise the Lord for that. And hopefully so many others have received much encouragement as well. I want to read a little bit to you before we begin here in Isaiah. He was a prophet before Jesus was born as a baby. This is his words here. What God spoke through the prophet Isaiah there, chapter 45. It says this, for the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. Though you do not acknowledge me, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. And when I read that, I was going, wow, it's kind of important to know the Lord. Because he proclaims himself, if you read in the Word, many places in Ezekiel and Isaiah and other places, he says, I am the Lord, and there is no one like me. He is the one and only. I don't know if you ever had a chance to go to an art museum and you look at these pictures, you know, beautiful paintings and things like that, and most of them are the one and only, right? And the only way you can tell that it really is the one and only is you have to hire somebody, some specialist in that field of art, and they have to come and they get their little eyeglass and they check out every stroke and everything going on in that painting, and they are able to determine if it is the one and only or not, because they have what's called a trained eye. Now, I don't know, sometimes I know if you ever had in your class or in your school or in your family, you have identical twins. I know Kylie Martin, she has Amelia and Alicia, and they are pretty identical. In fact, I always have to guess her name whenever I see them. I just throw it out there. Whenever if they go, yes, and if they go, no, I'm Amelia or I'm Alicia, I go, oops, sorry. They go, now I know, and I try to get something and stamp them on her head or something, or maybe on her back where I can always determine where they are. Now, for me, it's pretty difficult to tell one from the other. But from a trained eye of the mother. Because why? Because she spent so much time with them, listening to their voice, so much time being close and holding them and seeing every part of their face. And then they can tell, well, this is Alicia, this is Amelia, with confidence because of that trained eye. And so how do we get this trained eye? Because God is saying, I'm the one and only, but there's so many that think that there are other gods. Because he's saying this for a reason, because they are worshiping other gods at that time, as we do today. They might look a little different from the idols that they set up back then, or the statues. Idols can look differently in our lives. Things that we set above that are higher priority than God, the creator of the universe. That is called an idol. And so he says this for a reason, because he wants us to learn how to train our eyes on him. And when we look at the scripture, he's teaching us about this. And we look there at 14, you know, Jesus was born a special birth of a Virgin Mary, right? And it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit, God himself. And so he was born without the sin nature that we are born with. See, when we're born, even in the womb of our mothers, we are endowed with a special DNA of sin that came from Adam and Eve's rebellion in the Garden of Eden so many thousands of years ago. So it just attaches to us. We can't get rid of it. We can do whatever we can, but we can't get rid of it. And so God says, well, you know, as we know, as we're learning about God, training our eyes and learning more about him, we know that he is an awesome big God, because if he created this universe, he's mighty big God. And if he holds this universe in his palm of his hand, as Don said earlier this morning, he's an awesome big God. And he is a holy God, and nothing can come before him that is not perfect like he is. So we cannot come in his presence or we get burned up. So how do we get to know this God? Well, he has a plan. See, in Deuteronomy 14, he sent his son. See, this is actually God, the Son. You have God the Father, you have God the Son, and you have God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Now, explain it as you may. It's beyond my explanation. I try my best to understand, but I know he's God. And there's three persons in the Trinity. And here is God the Son being born like us, of a mother. And you would think he must be in a big palace and a powerful family, the most powerful in all of the earth. Definitely. Because if he is this awesome God, he's got to be born in that. He's born to nobodies. Just regular Joe Blows like we are. He's born in a manger. He had to be wrapped up because it's probably cool. The inn wouldn't even accept him in because he had no room. See, at that beginning, you're kind of going, well, what's going on here? Well, see, God sent his son for this reason. Because he wants us to learn to train our eyes on him. So he gave us somebody that is one of us. So if you're going to communicate to somebody, if I'm going to communicate to a child, to a group of kindergartners, well, I'm going to start moving my language down to simple words, right? And I'm going to have them do, I used to be a PE teacher, so I would have them do basic skills. Here's a ball. You take a step and you throw. I just give them a little bit of basics there. And as they get a little bit, and then you just kind of get a little bit harder as they learn. You know, you can have them, take a bigger step or turn their hips, so they learn and grow in that. But you have to break it down. Well, that's what God the Father did for us. He broke it down. He shrunk himself down into human form to walk amongst us. So we could hear his voice, see him, touch him, hear him. These people back then were able to do that, and they are our witnesses through the word that is written in this historical book. And this is not a fantasy book. This is not a fairy tale. This is hundreds of years of authors that God spoke through to write these words. This is history. And yeah, some of it is fantastic. You're going, what? I can't believe that happened. Yeah, but it's history. It's real people, real time stuff going on here. And so Jesus was born to walk. What was he doing? So he came, first of all, he came to reveal the Father. To say, hey, unpack me, and you'll get to know the Father. Right? So then you can have to start to get a relationship. And so, you know, he says there, John 14:6, it says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus was sent for a reason, to reveal the Father to us, because he is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of his nature for us to see and hear his voice in this word. They heard his voice plainly. We hear it through the written word here and through the Spirit speaking in our heart today. So he's revealing the Father. He's his representative, a perfect representative of who he is. And he came, why did he come? And Marcus says this, he came not to be served as a powerful, if you go to kingdoms around the world that still have kings, and you know that, you know, their children are, they're not serving anybody. They're being served, right? They are very special, so they are being served. Well, Jesus came the opposite way. He came not to be served, but to serve and to be a, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus came to reveal his Father to us, to teach us so we can get our eyes trained on who he is, so we can tell, is he the one and only or not? Because there's a lot of false gods out there even now. A lot of people say, this, I'm that. You know, this guy is that. We hear this and some of that. You know, this, you know, these guys say, you know, this is the way. This guy, those guys over there say, this is the way. And you kind of go, whoa. And God's saying, I am the way. This is how you know me, through my Son, who came not only just to reveal, but also to give his life for us. Have you ever paid? I don't know. A lot of you guys are different generations, stuff of that. But there was those days that you would actually have a bill and you had to pay it. All right? Lucas, remember, you know this. In a little while, you'll get this. So, you know. All right. But, you know, you pay your bill, you sign it, and you come up to the people, you actually drive to the place, the electric company or telephone company. I don't know, don't you remember this? And you hand it to them, and you know what they do? They look at it, and if it's in full, they get a stamp, they go, boom! Boom! They stamp it, paid in full. And you walk away going, for another month, right? Jesus, for each one of us here, and for the whole world, from the very beginning to all the way to the end, when he comes back, he died for us to pay for our sin. He took our lives that we should have been paying in full by dying on a cross instead of him. But he said, no, I take your death. And the Father goes, boom. Your life is paid in full. Your life is ransomed by my Son, Jesus Christ. Paid in full. And you're done. Yeah, we have to deal with our day-to-day stuff, but we can just bring it to the Lord of a sincere heart. And our eyes get trained on him more and more as our the one who forgives, the one who redeems, the one who delivers us, the one who saves us. It's amazing, isn't it? See, they talk about this grace upon grace here. It says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ, and no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in close relationship with the Father, has made him known. So Jesus is redeeming him. And it says before this, out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. This grace is an inexhaustible goodness of God for us. Inexhaustible goodness for us to help us out of the situation that we cannot help ourselves out of. And that is dealing with our sin. Because I don't know about you, I've tried to get rid of it one way or another. Forget about it. Don't think about it. Try to be good the next day. Say nice things. Try to make up for it and this stuff. It just doesn't do it. See, Jesus paid it in full. He says, come to me. Come bring your bill to me. And I'll stamp it for you with my blood. With my blood. Paid in full on the cross for you. Not just for next month. Forever and ever. For eternity. That is why he came. Unpacking it. This grace. There is no one like him. No one. When we unpack Jesus, there is no one like him. See, look at they come to these guys, the Pharisees sent these guys to John and they say, well, who are you, boy? Who are you? And if somebody asked me that, you know, especially, you know, several years ago, I'd be going, I don't know. What am I? But what does John do? He did not fail to confess, but he confessed freely this. Listen. I am not the Messiah. See, they're probably saying, are you the Messiah? See, the Messiah is the Savior to come, because they've been waiting a long time. They heard he's coming. He said, no. Because there's a lot of people in the world today, they go, yeah, I'm the Savior of the world. I'm the Savior of the world. Do you hear that? Do you hear this? Do you hear it in the media? Do you hear it all around the world in different countries? It's always like some people lift themselves saying, I'm the Savior. I'm the Messiah. They might not say those exact words, or maybe they are saying those exact words. But they don't really know who they are. See, John the Baptist knew. He said, I am not the Messiah. And they say, well, then are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Well, are you the prophet then? No, I'm not the prophet. Okay, come on. Who are you? Because you're baptizing Jews. These guys should be saved already. They shouldn't have any problems. But he's going, no. But there's an issue. There's a heart issue going on here, guy. You guys don't understand it, but there's a heart issue we're dealing with here. And then John says, well, this is who I am. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. And when you say the Lord, that actually in Greek is Messiah. For us, it's Savior. He's preparing the way for the Savior. Preparing hearts, that's what he's doing. He's calling all these people, saying, hey, repent and believe. And they're going, oh, God, it's, you know, there's something happening. God is moving and they have to come. And they came out to John and they were baptized, getting their hearts ready for what was happening next. See, John humbly answered these questions. But I feel like there is an excitement in his voice when he said he knew who he was. It's kind of hard to find out who you are, isn't it? Because there's a lot of voices coming out at us from everywhere. Media now these days, you got to deal with the media, all that stuff. But even before that, you have people speaking at you one way or another. In your school, in your jobs, in your family, in the community. And that can get confusing. And that can get kind of discouraging. And that can get really dark. And you kind of lose who you really are. But that's why God sent his son. See, John Baptist knew who he was because he knew who Jesus was. He knew the more you know Jesus, actually, the more you know yourself. And so he knew who he was. Problem was the Pharisees were kind of absent, opposite of that, you know, and they would see these miracles that Jesus would do, and they would just go, they would not look at the miracle of what Jesus was doing, but they would just look at when he did it or how he did it, and they didn't like it. And so they suppressed the truth, like so many of us do. When you wake up in the morning and you start brushing your teeth in the mirror and you see yourself, you're made in the image of God. Not the physical form, but the moral form. And a lot of times you look at yourself, you don't even know who you are brushing your teeth. Maybe you kind of try not to look at yourself as you brush your teeth. Kind of go, man, you're looking kind of harsh this morning. Why did you laugh? You know how I deal with it in the morning. I usually don't brush my teeth. So you come up with these things that come after us, right? And then, you know, the Pharisees, again, you know, there's in 2 Timothy, I'm just going to turn that for you. I'm going to read this a little bit about, you know, we have to be careful because the world's like this. We can be like this, like the Pharisees. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm just going to kind of cut down to 6. It says, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Oh my. I should just frame that. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, we can miss it. Our eyes and our hearts might not be trained enough, and then we just miss it. We don't see the one and onlyness, the perfection, the beauty of God, the holiness. We don't understand him, that he is He is the one and only. There is no other beside him. But when our eyes aren't trained, when we're always learning and we're not allowing the truth to soak in, we're not admitting it, we're not humbling ourselves like a John the Baptist and just receiving, going, yeah, you are God. I'm not. And neither is that guy. And neither is this political system, or education system, or medical system, or any philosophy in this whole world. Right? So all this is happening because it's trying to confuse us. Confusing us and causing us, that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to be confused and lose our way in all of this. Right? And we just can't see the one and only. I hear some nice music. What's going on there? Is that something special going on there? Is that you, Mick? Yeah. Mick, I knew you're trying to do something. I can tell you. I know you're up to something. When you're quiet like that, I know you're out to get me. As we go back to John 1, then we moved over. Why did I have Chris read about Nathanael? Well, first of all, see, eyes get opened in certain ways. But a lot of times we need to receive, and we have to have somebody come and seek us out to invite us, right? I don't know about you in life. If somebody doesn't invite you to the team, I know Cam, my youngest son, he was invited to go on a cross-country team. If his friends didn't invite him, he would not have gone on. All right? So an invitation is pretty important. Well, Philip, you know, Jesus calls Philip, says, come, and Philip's going, okay. I don't know the circumstances, but okay, I'll follow you, Jesus. And he says, and then he goes and gets his buddy. See, Nathaniel's a buddy of his. He says, hey, all the laws and all these guys are talking about, we found them. We found the one and only. We found the one and only. And when he told Nathaniel was from Nazareth, he's going, Nazareth? Yeah. Delphi? Oh, nothing good can come out of there. Right? I'm not going there. I don't know about you. But you know, Nathaniel must have just said, come on. I mean, Philip must be going, come on. And he said, okay, I'll go. And then when he came, and he met Jesus, and Jesus spoke to him. And then he says, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And all of a sudden, you know, it's we can't work these things. There's a mystery about it. But God does something in our hearts and minds when we actually come to him. And for Nathaniel, he just went, bing! Whoa! He saw me under the fig tree? This guy's different! And all of a sudden, his eyes got trained. And you know, I think there's something just the Holy Spirit, you know, was moving. And he, right then and there, his life was being changed. And he came up with one of the most important discoveries of all mankind. Because what he said is this. Oh, man. Rabbi! And that means teacher, talking to Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. It's all lit up for him. Just like these beautiful Christmas trees, just lit up with the truth. By God's grace alone. A mystery being worked out. And so, for ourselves, I just kind of encourage us, you know, we got to be careful in our own walk. You know, we got to get our eyes trained. How do you get your eyes trained? You need to be in this thing called the Bible. First of all, you need to read it. You need to get with others who are like-minded, and you need to talk about it, and you need to pray together. You need to walk in it. You need to see where you are. And if John the Baptist knew he was to prepare the way, you need to know your purpose. See, God made each one of us on purpose for a purpose. Each one of us, whether you know him or not, he made you on purpose for a purpose. And I know a lot of us are trying to chase after championships and money and wealth and all the good life we can do. But you know what? The greatest championship is the cross of Christ. He defeated death and the enemy, the devil. He defeated the world. He's the one that has risen up again on the third day, and he's coming back as the king, not just of Israel, but the king of the universe. We're talking about Maranatha. The Lord is coming. He is coming. John Baptist's words are still going forth and preparing hearts, even our hearts today. And we are to be like the Philips. Once we receive Christ, so if you haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior, come to him. Open your heart and receive what he has for you and train your eyes on him. And as he works in you, go out like a Philip and get your buddy and say, hey, come and see. So he can also receive this wonderful discovery of the one and only. There's no one like him. And then as you walk life and you get to know the Lord more and more, you find out who you are, who he is more and more, and you find out who you are more and more. And you walk in confidence, and there's a peace about it, and there's a joy in it, and there's a hope that keeps us going, even through the most difficult circumstances in our lives. because their history is all pointing and going towards a certain goal. And that goal is Christ Jesus is coming back as King. And he's calling us to himself and say, join my team. You got the championship of all the universe waiting for you. For I am the one and only. There is no one like me. No one can compare to me. Follow me. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the joy that we have in Christ. Thank you for the challenge and the encouragement. And Lord, open our eyes. We want to train our eyes so we can determine you as this awesome living God above all these other things that are trying to take our hearts away and be gods to us. So help us, Lord. Help us first just to come to you with an open, humble heart. And may we receive you with joy. And may we proclaim that joyful news that you are Savior. You're my Savior. You're Savior of the world. And may we joyfully walk in that. And draw others, bring others, invite others to come and see as well. And may we go forth knowing who we are and who you are more and more. And to be blessed in that, to be a blessing. There's so many who are walking in darkness. But Lord, you have paid it in full for us. All we need to do is come up to you and receive that full payment of our lives being given to you, and that we have everlasting life waiting for us. And may we live it with joy and thanksgiving and as lights here on earth. So others can hear the same good news as we've heard. So thank you again for your precious word and the hope that we have in Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all his people say, amen. Amen.